It's time now for Minnesota Reads here in Northland Morning. Our guest this morning is Mary Shear, the author of The Northern Gardener, From Apples to Zinnias, 150 Years of Garden Wisdom, published in 2017 by Minnesota Historical Society Press. And she's joining us by telephone. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Fine, thanks. This book is fascinating for me because I'm really a fan of old media. I love seeing how media has changed over the years. I love seeing how media, how things were written in magazines, how radio sounded, you know, how records sounded back in the day, all of these things. How did you go about researching this book and gathering the material that you wanted to use?
Well, I'm the editor also of a magazine called Northern Gardener, which is sort of the only magazine for, you know, zones 3 and 4, sort of our climate. And the magazine and the Minnesota Horticultural Society has been around for 150 years. And they have all, and they've been publishing for about 146 or 7 of those years. So they have all these old magazines and reports and sort of old information and photos. And when I was doing the book, which is basically kind of a how-to book, it's, you know, garden wisdom, mm-hmm. I really wanted to incorporate some of that old material because that's where a lot of our information about how to garden, a lot of the plants we grow came from those, you know, early horticulturists and the kinds of things they were, you know, trying to create here.
Right.
They really wanted to grow apples, for instance, which didn't grow, you know, naturally in our climate. But they did a lot of breeding work and a lot of trial and error in order to find apples that could grow, you know, in the weather we have here in Minnesota.
Especially in northern Minnesota, too. The terrain, to me, seems so anti-farming in some ways, at least in the northeastern corner where we've got so much clay and rock and it doesn't seem to be necessarily a healthy black soil like you see in southwestern Minnesota or over near North Dakota. So I suppose there was a lot of trial and error, wasn't there, to keep things, to get some sort of development.
Yeah, and one of the most interesting parts of the history to my mind when I was doing the research is these trial stations, which they had all over the state.
Hmm.
And they were, you know, regular people. They weren't run by the University of Minnesota at that time. They were just farmers or people who just happened to have a big garden. One of them worked for the prison down in St. Cloud, and they had a big garden on the prison grounds.
Huh.
And they, you know, these trial stations would get plants from the Horticultural Society, new plants, and they would get to try them out. And then they would write back about, well, we had hail in May and this happened, or the frost came really early in September and killed everything. So they do all the reports back to people about what grew, what didn't grow, and kind of what were the methods that worked the best for them.
Hmm. Now, this book, as I say, has a collection. It's a wonderful compendium of lots of articles from century ago, even way back. And certainly, as you say, you've got a lot of research on hand. But you've also included in the book not only contemporary photos from the time, but modern photos. But then you've also added your own, I would call is the word insets, sort of the extra sort of things you put on the side with lots of detail. You've got some pages too that I think are yours that you've written.
Well, I wrote the whole thing, so yes.
Well,
yeah, I mean, there are lots of bits and pieces to, it's basically a how-to book. So it's a great book for a beginning gardener because we go from the alphabet, A to Z, covering the kinds of topics you'd want to cover in, you know, if you're a new gardener. It talks about tomatoes and apples and trees and, you know, all the kinds of things you want to grow in a new yard. And it's a combination of sort of historical information plus modern advice. So there's some things they did in the past that we don't really want to have people doing today.
Okay.
They used an awful lot of poison back
yeah.
in the day. So.
Well, have they found, when you were deciding what to talk about, and certainly in each section you're looking at what was written about then and your comment on it now, have you found that what they were growing back then doesn't work in the modern era, either from, I don't know, climate change or just different approaches to growing things? Were there things that you didn't include because it wouldn't really have been relevant anymore?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's lots of things that, and like as I said, people were really big on poisoning things. And so they would make, and I think I do mention it in the chapter, they'd make little balls out of bran, molasses and arsenic. And they'd throw them out under their trees to get, you know, raccoons or, you know, whatever critter was bothering them. Well, that's not a recommended practice. So, I mean, so there's a lot of things that they that people did. But in terms of what grows, I mean, there has obviously been some change in the climate. It's a little more mild here than we were, you know, 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they had, like us, they had really cold years and they had warmer years. So how they dealt with the climate, I think that advice is still very good about using things like cold frames or small greenhouses in order to stretch the season, especially you folks up in the northern part of the
state.
That's
for sure, yeah. And also, I expect that, well, modern wisdom maybe looks at it differently, but bringing in outside plants, non-native plants, probably was a bigger thing back then, and nowadays is a bit more discouraged.
Right, right. And actually, when I plant, I'm planting a new garden myself right now, and when I just choose plants, I look for things that are both native plants and what I call heritage plants, because there's a whole bunch of non-native plants that really do fine here in Minnesota, and they don't cause trouble.
Okay.
And peonies, for example, they grow very well in Minnesota, and they don't cause trouble. They stay where they are. And so I think that's kind of a... For me, at least, the consideration in choosing plants is this going to cause problems, and is it in some way going to help the native insects and the other you know the other wildlife that we have here?
We're speaking with Mary Scheer, the author of The Northern Gardener, from Apples to Zinnias, 150 Years of Garden Wisdom. You mentioned that you are putting in your garden now. Well, fall is coming, so what you're putting in now, I assume, are bulbs and things like that. What are you planting in the fall to get ready for the spring when you start a garden, as you say?
Well, I live down in Zone 4 in St. Paul, so I'm actually going to plant a couple trees in the fall. And I think it's, you know, I think you probably still could plant some trees up there this time of year, as long as they've got enough time to take some root.
Mm-hmm.
Fall is actually a great time to do trees. It's also a great time to work on your lawn. You know, to put down some reseeding if you want to reseed or do other work in your lawn, because grass, turf grass, is a cool season crop.
Huh.
So it grows really well in the spring and really well in the fall. In the middle of the summer is the time to just kind of leave it alone.
Yeah. Is it this time of year, could you also attack weeds in the lawn too, or is it...
Yes, you can have weeds all the time.
But it's never a bad time to try and get rid of some non-grass in your lawn.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, this is a fascinating book, and it must have been really fun to research, because, as you say, you've got stacks and stacks and stacks of magazines. How did you possibly winnow it down? Did you have a criteria in mind, or did you try to just cover as many different topics and pick one from articles from each different decade and sort of reflect on what they were doing here and here and here? How did you compile the data to write these chapters?
Well, I knew I wanted to cover a broad range of topics that were relevant to northern gardeners. And we had all these magazines. Actually, we ended up going through them physically, looking through and say, oh, there's an article I might use. And so, I knew what topics we wanted to cover, and we were going to do this A to Z format, so there's, 26 topics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have been writing a garden blog for about 11 years, and so I used some of the information from my blog as well, that with the sort of current advice and the how-to type information came out of my own experience and then my own garden blog that I've been writing for many years.
Give us the blog URL. We'd love to have that posted to our website later
on. Sure. It's called mynorthergardenalltogether.com.
Fantastic. That's easy enough to remember. Okay.
Very easy to remember.
Well, thanks. Are you working? I mean, you're editing the magazine nowadays, but are you working on a new book now that this one's been out?
Not quite yet. I have a couple of ideas floating around my head, but if I do, it'll be another garden book, because I just really enjoy writing about plants and all the people that love plants.
Excellent. Well, Mary, thanks so much. This is a wonderful book, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Yeah, well, thank you, Chris.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Mary Scheer, the author of The Northern Gardener, from Apples to Zinnias, 150 Years of Garden Wisdom. This is Minnesota Reads. Funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I should mention, too, that The Northern Gardener is published in 2017 by Minnesota Historical Society Press.